Now, whenever I come across a passage that seems like it's pretty familiar to all of us, the first thing I want to do is look for something else. But then I remember that Scripture is living. Scripture doesn't rest, and it doesn't stop teaching us just because we've read it or heard it many, many times. Scripture gives us room to grow since the last time we heard it. So today, I invite you to listen as if this were the first time you heard this parable. Now, this passage is referred to as the parable of the sower, and it is found in both Matthew and Mark, although in Matthew, it comes with an explanation, which is pretty unusual, because most of the time, Jesus just tells a parable to the disciples, and by extension to us, and then he invites us to sit with it and stew over it. So we should pay close attention to any parable that comes with an explanation. So first notice that Jesus delivers this message from a boat. A boat. Any guesses as to why that might have happened? Well, there were a lot of people there. And if you've ever been on a lake and there were other boats around the lake, you can hear people who are really far away from you because water acts as a great way to amplify the voice. And so Jesus took the boat out so that his voice would be amplified for those who came to listen. And then he tells them this story about a farmer who planted some seeds. He didn't plant them like this. He just cast them out. And so there's four things that happened to these seeds. One is that the seeds that fell just on the path where everything, where steps had beaten it down, those seeds just fell and birds came and ate the seeds. So that was pretty easy pickings for those birds, wasn't it? They didn't even have to work hard to find something to eat that day. The second seeds took place, they fell into some rocky soil. Now, we live in the hill country, so we know what that looks like, right? When you see rocks, you can still see grass kind of growing up between them, but that's not the healthiest grass, is it? And as soon as the sun starts to beat down on it, because the soil is shallow, that grass withers and dies. Then there was some seed that fell among thorns or weeds. And what happened to that seed is that the weeds choked it out. Anybody ever had grass burrs in your lawn? Well, I have. And if you don't start pulling them up the minute you see them, pretty soon all you're going to see is grass burrs and very little grass down there because the thorns choke out the good seed. And then the fourth kind of seed fell into fertile soil. And Jesus tells them that the seed that fell into fertile soil produced 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as the farmer originally even planted. And then he says, anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. Now, verses 10 through 17 are left out of this week's lectionary reading, I guess because they wanted to save time. So I'm going to give you a really quick synopsis of what happens in those verses. In verse 10, I love this. The disciples say this, Jesus, why do you always teach us with parables? Now, I just love that because nobody can really understand the parables half the time. And even the disciples who were right there with Jesus had trouble understanding the parables. And so Jesus, who rarely gives a direct answer, starts quoting Isaiah the prophet. But here's what he says. He says that people look, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't understand. Now, personally, this could be a really good description of just about any one of us on any given day. I know that I miss God's teachings pretty regularly, mainly because I am distracted by non-essential non-kingdom issues. And so Jesus goes through all that Isaiah said, and finally in verse 18, Jesus gives them the explanation they were looking for. So he says that the seed that falls on the beaten down path represents those people who hear the message about the kingdom, but they don't understand it. And so the evil one can come and snatch them away, just like those birds snatched up that seed from that path. And then the seed that falls into the rocks represents those who initially receive the message of the kingdom with great joy. But after a while, they quickly give up because their roots are not deep enough to help them stand firm when trouble comes. Now, the seeds that fall in the weeds represent those people who hear God's word, who allow the worries of life, like jobs, like the lure of wealth, like other worldly things, to become more important than God's word in their lives. And it turns out that no fruit can be produced in that kind of environment when we allow the world to overtake us. And then that last group of seeds, the group we all wish we were in, that's the seed that falls into fertile soil. And it produces an abundant harvest for the kingdom of God. Now, as I reread this parable, you know this isn't the first time I've read it. And as I reread it and thought about it, it finally hit me, thanks be to God, that none of us stays in only one kind of soil all of our lives. I really believe that we all have the opportunity to be in one kind of soil, but to go in another kind of soil, hopefully ending up in that fertile soil and living there much longer than we live in those other kinds of soil, allowing us to grow and learn as we become more fertile, as it were. So I see the seed on the path as those people who won't allow themselves to give up control over their own lives. You see, Jesus calls us to surrender to him so that he can redirect our steps on the path in the direction that leads to him. Have any of you ever had to stoop so low as to call the dreaded technical support when you had a computer issue? Anybody? Okay, well, I have. And so when it's really, really bad, and I don't know where any of these people are. I mean, they could be anywhere on the planet. They could even maybe not even be on this planet. I don't know where these people are. They're just out there. And at a point, one of them might say to me, "Could I get your permission to log in remotely?" You know what this looks like? And so when, and you say, "Well, sure. I mean, like, what choice do I have?" And so they log in remotely, and I just have to sit back and watch this cursor just go around on my computer. I have nothing to say about it, nothing to do about it. That's the way we should surrender to Jesus, is to let him log in remotely so that he can direct us and show us the way to get things working again. But if I don't understand how it works, I might be tempted to just hang up and go no further. Now, those who fall into that shallow soil remind me of people who go on a really religious and spiritual retreat, or possibly even to some kind of work-related great workshop. And you come back and you're so excited because you've learned all this new stuff. You've heard a great speaker who motivates you, and you're so excited about all the new things you're going to try. And then you get home and you say, "I'm going to give myself to Jesus again." And then life starts to be life again, and we just settle back into that routine that we've become so comfortable in. Real change is hard. Make no mistake about it. For change to last, we have to work at it. Now, the people who allow the weeds to overtake them want to live as followers of Jesus, Sometimes we even manage it. But jobs and family and travel and community activities, all of which are very, very good, can suddenly become so important that we start saying, I wonder where I was when I left the path that leads to God, because I'm not on it anymore. I'm heading in all these other different directions. And then there are those folks that fall into fertile soil and who produce abundant fruit. That's the group we all want to be in. Well, I want to tell you about somebody that most of you probably know, to tell about this next kind of seed. Last week I was sitting at my desk and I was overwhelmed with details about UM Army and what I need to do before I leave and what I need to do while I'm gone, but make sure that people get to be able to do what they're supposed to do. And all of a sudden into my thoughts came Rosemary Krugmeyer. Y'all know Rosemary, right? Most of you do. And I thought, now why am I thinking about Rosemary? And I said, you know what, for once I'm going to listen to that nudge. And so I wrote her an email real quick. It didn't take that long. Just checking, how you doing, Rosemary? I thought about you, and I just wanted to see how things are going with you. I haven't spoken to you in a long time. And so she wrote back to me, and I'm going to tell you right now, I got her permission to read what she wrote back. So here's, among other things, she wrote this. She said, I'm doing well. My cancer has progressed a little, but symptoms are mostly annoying. I remain able to do whatever presents itself if I want to do it. I do miss my Mason church. I now attend a mega church with my children, where the music is good, but way too loud. Each Sunday, I take along what I call my church cotton, so I can stuff my ears and soften the sound. I'm still able to hear the music and the sermons just fine. And since it's mostly inhabited by young people, I've concluded they've already had hearing loss and they don't think it's too loud. Well, I wrote back to her because I wanted to make sure, you know, she was diagnosed with that cancer before she left here. I wanted to make sure this wasn't something new. So she wrote back, no, it's the same. It's the same, and I'm doing really well, and get around. I can do just about anything I want to do. But then on that second note, she gave me a P.S. She said, P.S. Several weeks ago, the drummer at our church was on vacation, and I told everyone I hope he enjoyed his vacation as much as I did. That's somebody who's fallen into fertile soil. That's somebody who has changed her entire behavior and who is still connected to the body of Christ in a worshiping congregation that is completely different from anything she has ever experienced. She takes cotton so it won't be quite so loud, and she can bring humor into it. But she hasn't allowed the unfamiliarity and the discomfort of a church that is that different from this one to make her stay home. She hasn't quit going to church just because her children's church is not like this church in Mason. We should all be so fertile. But now here's the best news about this entire parable. I want you to hear this. We can all find ourselves in each one of these groups from time to time. The trick is to get to such a place that living in fertile soil for God becomes a creative challenge instead of a hindrance to our faith. Now, please forgive me for being so blunt, and some of you might want to tuck your feet up underneath the pews so you don't get your toes stepped on. But please forgive me for being so blunt, but some of the reasons that people cut themselves off from the body of Christ are immature and self-centered. please forgive me for being so blunt. But some of the reasons that people let the weeds choke them out are misguided and harmful to their families and to themselves. Please forgive me for being so blunt. But some of the reasons that people refuse to listen and understand are no more than their own need to control every single aspect of themselves and even sometimes the lives of others. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. All of us can at least some of the time find ourselves in fertile soil and remember who we are. Thanks be to God that He never gives up on us, that He is always willing to point us back in the direction to the place that leads to Him. And thanks be to God that He never stops sowing seeds. And guess what? We are the seeds. God is constantly casting us out, sometimes into fertile soil where we can grow and be enriched and enrich others, sometimes into weeds to see what's going to happen there. We're going to leave here in just a little bit. And we're going to go to Brackettville with 18 kids and 6 adults from Mason. And there we're going to be able to shut out the problems that we face in our routine every day. I'm going to just say, when you go on a mission trip, it's a little bit easier to be in mission because you're out of your comfort zone anyway, so you may as well try to enjoy it. And you're not drawn into the regularness of your everyday life. And so my prayer for all of us is that we might fall into fertile soil while we're there. That we might hear what God is saying to us, and not only that, understand the message. My prayer is that we can learn to love total strangers in a very short amount of time because we will be guided by the love of Christ that is greater than any love that any human could ever give. But that's not all. My prayer for those who aren't going to Brackettville, where really, like I said, it's a little easier to be in mission because we're just going down there to do this job. But everybody else who's staying here or going someplace else, you have to find a way to break through the routine of every day and allow God to break in. And may we all, every one of us, if we're here in Mason County, if we're in Brackettville, or if we're somewhere else, may we all hear the word of the Lord and understand and find ourselves in fertile soil and point in the direction of Jesus Christ for someone who's looking for that light in the darkness. May we not forget who we are. And if we do find ourselves in one of those unpleasant types of soil, may we rise up and look for the fertile soil of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.